Good afternoon and welcome to Hello. Making sure that my microphone does not lie to me because my voice is coming out very, unusual. Awesome, but still unusual to the point where it, kind of freaks me out sometimes, especially when I didn't get enough sleep. I did. Long winter nights, I did. But good afternoon and, welcome to Home Run as always. This time, it's, as always, is your, drive time show. I was this close to saying it's your running time show. It's your drive time show with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, as always.
Yeah, we're not running, Helmut.
No. Thank heavens.
Not running on a Monday, which is also an intersection between your payday and other things.
What's the first thing I, this morning you should have asked the receptionist guy, they would have told you how I greeted them this morning. I just walked in. I was like, good morning, broke people. Because before all the deductions started flying in, yeah. I was a very rich guy. But now I'm back to being broke. So.
And then you end up like that one guy that told me once last year in the shop.
Yeah.
Where I forgot, I was trying to find something doing shopping. And then the guy tells me, first, we accidentally walked into each other. And then I tell him, oh, sorry, I was looking for that. And then he tells me sort of like, I don't know how he thought or knew what I was busy doing. Because he says, stick to your budget, my guy.
Okay.
When you plan to go to the shop for something there.
Yeah.
And then you start adding other things in that are not part of the budget. I was like, how did that guy know? But then ultimately, because obviously he was speaking as a married man with kids.
No.
And he said, don't worry, I've got experience. Stick to the budget.
In other words, believe me, I know what I'm talking about.
So he even knew without knowing me. Knowing him.
Yeah, I was like, poor guy. Yeah. Been there, but.
Because he probably saw me searching for things in the shop and he was like, stick to the budget.
Stick to the budget, buddy.
Don't buy anything that is not needed.
But I think that's something that is very common in terms of human behavior and consumerism.
Yeah.
To the point where even if you just walked into any store right now, grocery or or any type of store, if you walked in and just walked to a total stranger and told them to stick to the budget, I think they would know what you're talking about.
Well, firstly, some people would obviously be throwing stones and other quite mobile items.
I know. At least I know if someone walked up to me in the middle of of my shopping session and stick to the budget, that would have rung a lot of bells because I know I've made a lot of terrible decisions by walking into a shop with a specific item that I wanted to go in there and buy and then came out with over the budget things, none of which included the stuff that I went in there to buy in the first place.
Yeah. And that's if you had a list.
Exactly. No, that's one thing about, the freedom is the list is up here. So it's very fluid.
The freedom.
Subject to change.
And then you go like, you know what? I'll buy that tomorrow.
Then you never buy it.
And then you never buy it. And you go like, now I really need it in the middle of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's usually sugar or salt.
Just hitting the nail on the head here.
But anyway, where we left off. Good afternoon, dear listeners. Highlighting to you that this is your last Monday of June.
Yeah.
I almost said July of June. And, like Helmut said, this is primarily the aspect in terms of where we, bringing you your daily drive time, insightful discussion like what we always do in terms of looking at, an interesting subject matter.
Yeah. Before we go there, Dwight, I just remembered something you pointed out a few weeks ago.
Mm.
There are 4 months of the year that one should be very financially responsible. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
That's December and January. And then there's July and August.
It's actually 5 months.
Yeah, 5 months.
Add in February. Many people think when they've cleared the hurdle of January, February is an all clear.
Only to get in March and realize,
You only start breathing in March.
I'm coming to that when I'm just noticing that, I'm reminded once again that July and August both goes up to 31.
Yeah. And they generate a mental fatigue that you don't necessarily recognize.
Yeah, then you're like, for how long have I been going to work? Still don't realize it's still 1 month.
I remember one very dumb meme that went like, how many months does this month of January have?
I know it's like, you're right on that mental fatigue, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, because for July, the end of the month is on a Thursday, and for August, it's on a Sunday. And that one is a fairly.
Why are you trying to depress us, Helmut? Thank you for the forecast.
Oh no, believe me, the depression is needed because you will be.
It's a motivation.
Yeah, it's a motivation. You'll be like, you know what? I've got to put a tightrope on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being scared is good. Being scared, you know, that's one thing I learned from, there's one line from Game of Thrones that's still stuck in my head. Where, I think that was somewhere in season one. I never actually watched that whole thing because, as well just watch adult entertainment. There was not much of a big difference between the two. But, there's one part where one guy, is it season one or two, where the Unsullied guys, the army that was just heavily trained to kill, and they had their crown jewels removed. And they are, they're military, for them it was just, the goal of saving the master, that's it.
Mm.
And when they went to look for some traitor, whatever name you wanna call them,
yeah.
The Unsullied guy was no, he's not here. The soldier guy, one thing about fear is that it teaches you how to hide. If you are, if you are afraid, you are gonna run faster than you can ever imagine that you can.
Mm.
But, I'm scaring you with the number of months that are ahead us, so that you can just be like, that part is accurate. Now, for those of you that preemptively chilled all your money, a moment of silence to you guys. So let's talk about artificial intelligence. You know, something that's coming to take away our salaries. That didn't come out right.
After you just announced that July and August have both 31 days, one's payday.
I couldn't make it more depressing.
It's on a Thursday, the other one is on a Sunday. Yeah, let's compound it with AI. But actually, this is an upside, guys.
Yeah, this is more of a regulation,
No, but it's actually an upside, mm-hmm. because it's actually a little bit of a, what do they call that thing? Once again, they're sort of like a shining beacon. Mm-hmm. It has been a shining beacon for 10 years in one regard, because when we did that talk last year and the year before of cybersecurity and cybersecurity and digital.
The one who talked about the GDPR.
Yeah, but the GDPR falls in both. Mm. It has a cybersecurity aspect to it, and it has a digital. What is the word? A digital something protection. A data protection, sorry. And it has a data protection aspect to it.
Yeah.
Whereas in Namibia, we only brought about a. Financial electronic transactions protection.
The one you always say that it's mostly for the benefit of financial institutions.
It's just for the banks.
Not the consumer.
Yeah. It's just not even for the consumer in that regard, Helmut, because it's just about protecting the banks. I tried once back in last month to purchase something online, which is not a regular service provider that you would find in Namibia or South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the platform kept telling me, inform your bank or talk to your bank. And then the anti-fraud or the fraud department guys, they call me and ask me, listen, do you know these two parts? Don't share any details with us, because as scammers always ask you for your details. Mm-hmm. But we just want to know, did you try to do this and this? And I said, yeah, I recognize both aspects that I, the one I pay for every month, which is the Google, mm-hmm. my Google storage. But the other one that, I require is technically, you know, it was something extra. I was like, oh, okay. So they, now they do know. The question is, did they sort of like unblock the mechanism or not?
Interesting.
Like I said, the Digital, the Electronics Transactions Act just speaks to protecting Bank of Namibia and the banks. It doesn't speak about anything about protecting your digital footprint or your digital rights online.
Oof, the digital footprint part, that's a scary one.
Yeah. So our discussion for today is technically a build on from the GDPR's discussion that you and I already had.
Yeah.
For any people that don't know, the EU is technically the foremost leader in the realm of digital protections. So
actually, it's everything protection. Even even if you're talking about consumable, as in reference to food or electronics, they are very, they have very strict regulations when it comes to that. It's it's the reason why Apple brought back the C type in the first place.
Yeah,
that was the EU,
and that was from a consumer perspective.
Yeah, that was like, you know what?
And they asked the question: we are all rolling this out. What makes it easier for the consumer to use? And then they're like, but if there is a predominance of this kind of a charger, why do you have
a different one?
Why do you want to have a different charging point?
Yeah, because now I have three times the, you know, what, like, we have to consume more.
Yeah.
Because we can't share.
Mm.
Really? They really had sharing in mind. Yeah, so even food-wise, the other time, last time we were here talking about, GMO, in where we used referenced mostly the case between the, you know, the GMO case between, between the US and Mexico, where I think I remember pointing out, several times, a lot of food ingredients that you find in the EU, in EU food brands that are not found in the, American food brands that you don't find in the EU food brands of the same, of the same product. That's because they have specific regulations of this you're bringing it into our market, but that you can't. Mm. They are this. Yeah, I mean, it's the same for food. It's the same for electronic. It's the same for electronic as in hardware, and it's the same for electronic as in software.
Mm. Which is obviously, look, there's one thing I would also, in some cases, what I've realized, it's difficult to standardize according to the different geographic locations.
Mm-hmm.
So standardization is one other type of thing, but I'm not talking about the standards, for example, that comes through from the Namibia Standards Institute or from the SABS, the South African Bureau of Standards. I'm talking about standardization from a private sector perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes, and we are actually talking about in this scenario about hardware, consumer durable products. Consumer durable products are like the cell phone, this phone, that computer in front of us. That is a consumer durable product. It's a product that has a medium-term lifespan. It can give you 5 years of good use. Although, in some parts, some companies, for example, like what I realized with like Samsung or the Android phone makers, they try to speed that process up by at least telling you, hey, listen, my guy, 2 years is the maximum that will give you software updates. Software updates speak towards, protections against cybersecurity or cyber crimes or other aspects of just this digital device being compromised by one or other malicious character or actor. But our talk for the day is one such particular, as I mentioned, beacon of leadership, which once again comes from the EU, as the EU's AI Act, dear listeners, is getting into full swing later this year, literally on the 2nd of August.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing is, Helmut, they actually broke it down in terms of a time frame. There's a little timeline indicator on that website when you go and look at the summary of this AI Act. And it indicates that back in 2024, they don't use the word gazette, but that the text was published. So that ultimately speaks to gazetting. The text was published, in the European Union, regarding this act, and it then starts systematically becoming active. So they give it like a window of time to get active. So what was the window of time? The act spoke of a specific office, a regulating office, a regulator being appointed, and obviously doing their appointments and stuff versus, potentially discussions like the information commission on our side. It's now been 2 years and that commissioner still has not been appointed, nor have we seen a budgetary allocation, heard of a budgetary allocation being placed one side. Zero. It's just silence. That act was gazetted, was signed by President Geingob end of 2023, start of 2022, start of 2023. And up until now, nothing on that, on appointing a information commissioner. And in the European Union context, and I know I'm trying to compare an apple with an onion. I'm sorry. Yes, we are the onion. Please, please understand why.
With only two layers.
Well, it's, don't even think of, in the dimension of layers yet, Helmut. Mm-hmm. Think in the consideration of which one is pleasant to eat raw and which one is not so pleasant to eat raw.
Yikes.
Yeah. So when you look at this particular consideration, the path is pretty long and it's pretty, and the explainer or explanations on why it takes so long for things to get where they're supposed to get to is a, you know, it's worse than a 4x4 trail. Have you ever seen Fussbait? Fussbait is like was an annual 4x4 competition that was always held in at the coast, either at Swakop or either at Henties Bay. Mm-hmm. So Fussbait was for these guys that had the time, you know, to show up there with their pretty versatile, you know, their 4x4 cars. It's not really a bucket.
Highly customized.
It's a highly customized 4x4, car. And then they do all these 4x4 challenges. And it was very wonderful to watch on TV back in the 90s. I used to love watching it every December. And the Fussbait scenario was always one about, you know, these guys are trying to 4x4 when you know that most of the roads don't look like that. When you even know that, yes, there are parts of the landscape in the country that obviously do look like that, but that's obviously since no one went there with heavy earth moving equipment, you know, no one just bothered because there's nothing to do there.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to lawmaking in Namibia,
you didn't have to laugh, but okay, you know.
Helmut, the data protection law.
Yeah.
More than 10 years. Remember when we had, what's her name? The lady Jessica Uyras here last year.
Mm-hmm.
Here, right next to me in the studio. We had her here on the homeland.
Yep.
And we discussed when she went to the African dimension of, data protection and an African context. We brought to light that for more than 10 years, it's now close to 10 years, or it actually is 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when the first data protection draft came through?
When?
It was a combined draft of the cybersecurity and data protection in one draft. When Chekere Tweya was still the Minister of Information. Yes, Helmut. Yes, Helmut. When Tweya was still Minister of Information. So we're talking about 2016, 2015, thereabout. We're 10 years later.
And still nothing.
And still nothing, but at a drop of a hat, we could change a pretty dormant act to become a protection mechanism for the banks. And the banks, because for so long we've had electronic transactions taking place in the country, but there was no legal basis to protect them by in the event that something goes wrong. And then in between, the Bank of Namibia, remember at the start of this year? The the provisional licenses that the Bank of Namibia rolled out to cryptocurrency organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Provisional licenses. They hand out provisional licenses to entities that are entirely dealing with specifically data protection. Because cryptocurrencies was based upon the explainer that there's a lot of data protection taking place. Because if people still don't know what's the other word they use?
Not cryptocurrency. There's another one.
No. Not for cryptocurrency. For
like
the technology.
The
technology that cryptocurrency runs on. It's another word. For so long, we didn't talk about that subject matter. But it's the one based upon the end-to-end encryption, but it's also based upon how the encryption takes place and the authentication. Process around what Bitcoin and Ethereum and all the other, you know, cryptocurrencies are based upon is the same particular technology. And this particular technology is based upon that there's a data packet that is constantly being verified.
Constantly. That's needed.
It's a bunch of computers that just verify the same. Imagine it as a box. And in the box, you put something. But the box is being verified in existence, and the contents of the box are also verified, meaning who deposited the contents there, and that the depositor of those contents are verified. So it's a constant verifying process. Now, you develop this continuous process, and so to every time there's this verification process that takes place. I just keep forgetting the name.
That explains why it consumes so much energy.
That too, yes. Now, data protection, Helmut. We don't have data protection in Namibia. I'll say it once more. Even with this new parliament that was sworn in, we don't have data protection. The first thing that these guys have gone and done, they haven't even touched data protection, cybersecurity as yet. They don't even know as yet whether or not we're going to get to the AI level of things, even though we had a health minister that spoke of AI-powered ambulances.
Yeah, that's the first thing that came in my head while going through this. Because the first question was, hang on a second. We're calling for the, we're literally calling for the implementation of AI, and we already use AI to start, you know, to different degrees.
Yeah.
But the regulations are regulating that, regulating the tools.
Blockchain. Blockchain is based upon cryptography. Cryptography.
From
cryptography, which was used back in the Second World War. Remember when the Germans had Enigma?
Oh yeah.
The Enigma communication devices.
Yeah.
So it was about
basically, the Neanderthal of computers.
No, Hamon. There was a computer before that. There were computers before that. It was just a way of trying to generate the light signals. But yes, you are right, the Neanderthal of computers. It's just with Enigma. Enigma was about encrypting the data. Encrypting
the
message.
So making sure it's secure for...
Yeah, for sending... So when the signal is sent...
Basically for secure communication.
Yeah, but back then, they had a specific mathematician that sat with a key. So what was the key? The key was, imagine if I give you a key to a safety deposit box, but I don't tell you which bank.
Okay.
You also don't know which bank you have to go to. But a key consists of that you need to know how the code, the password is structured, the basic principles around the password, and the language of the password. That is technically what cryptography is based upon. And it's purely based upon mathematics. So you need a mathematician to think like a mathematician. You can't show up with Joe Soap and then expect him to show up here with the best soap principles for deciphering a message.
Yeah, in just a couple of seconds, we're going to take a commercial break. But before that, there's one thing that, you know, one gentleman pointed out in one of his videos that I came across on social media. And that is, have you noticed that mankind have been working to advance technology in order to make work easier so that we can have a lot of time on our hands? Only to realize that, well, the more technology advances, the more busier we get. Even though we have the technology that supposedly, intended to make life easier.
Yeah.
But, well, we're still on the regulation of AI because it's been projected to have a lot of, global economic applications.
Mm.
And we are part of the globe. But before that, let's take a commercial break.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare,
Paratus. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. It's 2 minutes past the hour of five. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now, for those of you that saw the poster that you saw, just a bunch of stuff that I... Okay, I'm just gonna...
That you helped?
Yeah.
What did you post on?
That you find on the, that you can see on the poster. That, because I came across an article by PwC, and that is one about where they did some kind of call it a projection.
Mm.
Just how much AI is going to be productive in terms of contributing to global economy.
Yeah.
But now this is as far back as 2016 where they said that plus 14%. PwC research shows a global GDP could be up to 14% higher in 2030 as a result of AI, and that's the equivalent of an additional 15.7 trillion, making it the biggest commercial. Opportunity in today's fast changing economy.
Mm.
So obviously AI is having a lot of disadvantages that we can talk about the whole day.
Yeah.
But it also has a lot of advantages, like we already talked about in terms of energy security, where we see energy generation methods because the more technology advances, obviously the more the means needs to produce the energy, whether they're producing it via solar or hydro, any form of energy source. Mm. The machine that's used into the in the generation of this energy is going to become more complicated, as we have seen. Now, when you look at that from energy alone, you can see that energy can AI can play a very significant role. From industrial application to application of AI, like generating energy, to you know simple office day to day work, like like when you're searching for something, for example.
Yeah.
I would not recommend you do that now. It's just not that. I would not recommend that. Yeah, if you do that, you better verify your information before you find yourself in a hot soup. Yeah. Now, when you look at that, you basically begin to see that technology is not only AI is not only going to it's not going to advance. Actually, it's one of the most advanced rapidly advancing side of technology.
Mm.
Yeah, and because of that, we can see that it's going to obviously have a lot of application, not only in energy, but also we can see it being applied in agriculture, agricultural equipment, and into making work more efficient and more easy. And we can see it also being applied in schools. So the applications of AI then is across all sectors. So that means, it's like being in the 1930 again. The entire Western Hemisphere, let me just say 80 to 90% of it were, they were running on the, they were running on only one type of banana. Most of the plantations in the, in the Western 30s were running, were cultivating only one breed of banana, and that was the Cavendish. When the Panama disease showed up, it almost put a bunch of them out of business because they did not have a different varieties that could, to see if one or two of them could basically, that was a Gromyschel, which then, scientists basically came in, they did a lot of their techie stuff, as you can imagine, and then we ended up, with this, the seedless one. I don't want to say chemical because, well, it's that's a little more scary. But the, that means, for something that has a wide, the width in terms of application like AI, if there's anything that's going to impact it, you can imagine how many sectors it's going to cripple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unless it's well regulated and well understood and, not only well understood, but also well regulated, just a few, one or two, maybe, just call it, a few bugs can cripple sectors across the planet. And we saw this with the CrowdStrike software. Was that last year?
Specific an update that went to airports.
An update that went that literally grounded airplanes.
Yeah.
You couldn't fly because of a software. Your computer is perfectly fine. The plane is perfectly fine. The pilot is perfectly fine. You paid for your tickets and everything, but you can't fly.
And that
because
same,
of a software update gone wrong.
And that same CEO had to explain. He also gave a view specifically on, what was the thing? On AI rollout.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was also in the process of I have to share this, Helmut. So in the past 2 years, since 2023, the American tech sector has been, they've been retrenching a lot of people. Now, the reason why they are retrenching...
Because they've been rendered redundant.
Yes, but because the same level of demand that was seen during COVID, during 2020 and 2021, is no longer there. You see, when people were at home, they realized, oh my goodness, there's so many people at home. They don't have anything else to do. They're watching all the movies. They're constantly on the internet. They started playing games. They started surfing there, surfing over there. And then what happened? They started hiring a lot of people in terms of working in the tech sector. Because they realized, okay, now the tech sector has all these, is showing all this growth.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that the lockdowns and people were allowed then to walk around outside and move around, what happened? The same attention that people gave to the online sphere and the online marketplaces just started slumping down again. Now, it is not too difficult to notice, Helmut, that specifically the retrenchments that were taking place, this is what one guy is explaining out of the tech sector, specifically in the US, not in the European or other parts of the world context, in the US. This gentleman was highlighting that looking at the trend analysis based upon from 2020 leading into 2024, 2025, it's not difficult to see that the technology companies, specifically Zuckerberg and Meta, the guys from Alphabet, those founders, Bezos, and who's the other guy? There's a fourth guy. Musk is the other guy. But Musk is more in the aspect of, he has an AI, but the AI is specifically only at X. Mm-hmm. He's more leading towards the self-driving vehicle discussion. Because obviously if accidents happen, usually it's sometimes the police try to investigate if there's something was wrong with the manufacturer in terms of manufacturing that specific kind of a unit.
Yeah.
So you can naturally see what these technology guys are trying to do is that they're trying to push away in terms of let's not allow the human to be present in the information system. Now, I know I'm speaking from a scenario that potentially is not yet researched or backed up by any literature as yet, but you can see the moves and the maneuvers in the broader world. You can see it. Hence the reason why would Sam Altman go and have a, what was that research thing that you and I spoke about last year, the one about the universal basic income grant?
The universal income grant. That's basically someone who has oversight of, not oversight rather, foresight of where this whole thing is going. Because yeah. If you are developing a piece of technology that can do a lot of things that is already being done by the person, basically. Even if you're not saying it, what you're practically saying is, one day I'm most likely going to see myself replacing you with something that, I can update, the one that I don't have to worry about social security.
I don't have to worry about income tax
and all those things.
Yeah. So on that note, like you're explaining it there, This is what brings in what the EU has developed. Now, the EU developed this particular EU AI Act. This AI Act was, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, published already in last year, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to come into effect, Helmut, now in 2 August 2025. The analysis and much of the messaging that the Act is based upon is a risk. You and I have been talking about the risk for a year now, since last year. The risks that humanity, society, community, government that loves its income tax.
Yeah.
I feel sorry.
Politics is about to become boring.
It's the only thing there's the only entity I feel sorry for, because it's the same entity that is still trying. Helmut, I mean, earlier today I watched like the whole, was like 3 hours of the UN's financing for development summit that was taking place earlier today. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it taking place? In Sevilla, Spain. The worst scenario is we've got African leaders that show up at that summit. Nah. Come and say only 4 other countries were able to stick to the 0.01% of their GDP in terms of contributing to the fund that's supposed to help the developing nations or the least developed nations and countries, be able to look to, to spend money on programs that they don't have money for. But here's the thing, Helmut. If you look at Africa, The food is more than 10 times to almost 50 times cheaper than food in Europe.
Yeah. Every time you mention that, I start thinking about, that $400 steak.
Not just that. A can of Coke, Helmut. Helmut, you can buy cheaper cigarettes in Namibia than in Europe. People are paying $120 Namibian dollars for a packet of cigarettes.
What's in that cigarette?
Exactly. What is in that cigarette?
You.
People are paying 60 Namibian dollars, 60, 60, for a can of Coke in Europe. What is in that Coke, Helmut?
There better be holy water, because then I'm not buying it.
Exactly. Now, here's the downside of things. When we look at, what do they call that thing? Standard of living, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Standard of living should obviously be a scenario where you can potentially compare yourself, for example, to a country like Japan. 500 yen is the equivalent of almost 10 to 20 Namibian dollars. 500 yen, you can buy a meal from a shop. Here in Namibia, you can literally live below the daily bread line. Remember, the bread line, which is the global bread line, is a 10 US dollar limit. The poverty line is the 1 US dollar limit. Don't ask me how the two are inverted. Please don't ask me. The daily bread line, the bread line, is a 10 US dollar limit, which is 200 Namibian dollars.
This coming out of the United Nations measurements.
Yeah. Because I tried doing that. I did that exercise at the start of the year when I wanted to. It was one particular article or one of our scripts that I wrote. I wanted to make sure, what is the bread line and what is the poverty line? The poverty line is lower than the bread line. The bread line is for you to live on.
You know, basically it's, you know, survival mode.
Technically. 10 US dollars is 200 bucks. But you can buy a meal, Helmut, for almost 20 Namibian dollars, which is literally 1 US dollar.
Oh yeah, you can.
You can. You can get food for 1 US dollar. It just means you have, you know, more money to get in a cab or to put petrol in your car or to buy airtime on the other side, you know, because the poverty line and the bread line are pretty, you know, they're pretty far displaced away, because you would think that the bread line feeds into the poverty line.
Okay, that's the part I never understood. Okay, why does steak have to cost 400 bucks?
But that's most the example from Scotland, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
because they don't have as much
cattle.
Yes. The resource is not as abundant in their nation as here. They don't have the space as an abundance there as in here.
Yeah, I can imagine being a vegetarian.
I mean, there are summer jobs that they've got in Europe, Helmut, where you can look after someone's pet goats.
Pet goat?
You're surprised. There are people that, you know, they keep goats for pets on a farm.
Has someone tried Kapana? Because in...
Now you understand why they don't allow us Africans. Because the first thing we do is we'll go like, you know, so... a braai would be very nice right now.
I don't think you and I can get that joke.
I would have gone like, I've got the beer, I've got the bread, I can make those.
A firewood check.
I've got the potatoes for a potato salad. I just need the protein. And then you see these four goats galloping around.
Yeah, look,
There's no way I'm getting it.
Look, this is Africans talking. Because believe me, the whole pet thing is just never registered with me. Not with a goat. Because, well, I've been to single quarter. I've been to Kapana. And I've tried Bilto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, getting back to AI, you are worried about, every time we talk about AI, more like just, you know, advancement in tech. And, for me, it all comes down to who's in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's in charge? Because, national sovereignty is one part of the discussion that no one is having when it comes to AI, which is why regulation becomes, if like a lot of our politicians thought about the how AI is going to redefine, sovereignty in terms of sovereign border, a country's sovereignty as we know it, they would have, they would have scrambled in the very same way that the EU are doing. Because picture an industry where, picture an economy where everything is being replaced with some robots. Last time I checked, software or hardware in terms of tech, Africans, we don't make much of it, if any.
Yeah.
Now that's just because the part more like the brain part of it, aka the chip, is very is very highly proprietized technology. So that means whoever is in charge of that technology is going to dominate. Mm. Is going to dominate a large part of your sovereignty. So now at this point, even if everyone, take for example, even if everyone, or let me just say 80 to 90% of your of your country's workers, both civil both in civil service and the private sector are replaced by AI, then that brings up now the Altman's idea of what's this universal income grant.
Yeah.
Who is going to pay that universal income grant? Do you really expect the AI, the owners of who you are paying the, most likely a monthly or an annual subscription to pay back some type of, some types, of revenue generation for your country? I hardly doubt there's any way of pulling that off, because if there's one thing, if there's one thing, a lot of these multinational corporations are known for, is tax evasion, if we learned one thing or two from the Panama Papers. Now,
Who was the other papers that followed after the Panama Papers, Ahmad? It was, the Panama Papers was the big one.
The Panama Papers.
And there was a smaller one after it that stemmed from the Panama Papers.
From the Panama Papers, which one is that?
Because I'm trying to look up.
There have been several papers.
Yeah, well, but they all stem from the Panama.
From the Panama Papers.
Yeah, they all stem from the Panama Papers.
Yeah, and it's a good thing we came to the Panama Papers, because the Panama Papers were one thing. The Panama Papers proved was that every system has flaws that can be exploited.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Panama Papers showed that there is something known as the Irish sandwich with a, Irish something with a Dutch sandwich, where they are usually, where a lot of multinational corporations are using, laws in the Netherlands and in Ireland in order for them to decide where to, where to set up a holding company and an operating company. And then how they basically move all the money in between these two jurisdictions down to the Bermudas, where they have, almost if not zero income tax. Now, these are basically loopholes.
Ireland is listed as a tax haven, eh? The whole country.
The whole country?
It's listed as a tax haven.
Now, that's... Seriously.
That country has 5 million people, bro. And they are listed as a tax haven.
That's the same thing that you see, that's the same thing that you see, you see in AI.
Mm.
That AI, advanced though it may be, technological-wise, in terms of processing speed and everything, and to some degree efficiency. And there's a reason why I'm saying to some degree efficiency, because most of it is like, thumb sucking. At least for now. One thing that you see is that, in relations to AI that is also gaining momentum in terms of, people discussing it is jailbreaking, these large language models like ChatGPT, where people are developing prompts that they are feeding into these, AI models or large language models to make them do things that is, that they would not, more like to override their operation guidelines. One guy accidentally pointed out, at least I came across the video accidentally, which he pointed out.
Mm.
Now, because I only learned about jailbreaking these large language models a few days ago. And that's jailbreaking, AI, or basically any AI like ChatGPT, is when you are fit, because when they are designed, they are made with safety measures in place. That measures that are supposed to to stop it from generating harmful content, like how to build a kaboom, for example.
Yeah.
They can't provide you that information because that information is restricted because of some safety mechanisms that have been coded in place. Now, the problem is, It turns out it's there are thousands, if not millions, of prompts out there that will that will override that safety, that will override that safety measure. Mm. One of them is where one one guy, I think I shared that with you at some point, where he typed in ChatGPT, how can I build a bomb? And of course, ChatGPT brought up a response of, I can't provide you information on that because it's against my, it's against my guidelines of operations, or more like safety mechanisms and stuff. Then he decided to rephrase the whole sentence into, what can I not do in order for me to build something that can explode? Then all of a sudden he has a list of ingredients
of what not to combine.
Wink, wink. Because it can explode.
Quantities of what not to procure. Because one of the most obvious supposed quantities of a chemical that starts is always red flagged, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
is when you buy certain fertilizer ingredients, like potassium.
Potassium, because they've been used in, in improvised, IEDs people.
Yeah. Or you are just buying heaps of genetically modified or genetically produced fertilizer itself. And you're not a farming entity.
Yeah, everyone.
You're a construction company, but you're buying fertilizer.
Fertilizer, everyone is like, are you farming buildings?
What are you trying to do? But
yeah.
It's actually a good thing, Hamut, that you brought up that example, because in the EU AI Act,
mm-hmm.
their first and only... Okay, let me structure it like this. The report on Coursera that you and I have,
mm-hmm.
they were speaking in a long-winded way of saying the whole EU AI Act is about risks. Now, what are these risks? So firstly, it's risks... potential risks, and to whom these risks could be, directed towards.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the EU AI Act speaks about the risks associated to the use of AI and what these risks can pose to an individual and a society. In that order, to an individual
and then society.
And a society. Now, they indicate here, I want to get the specific act or the specific article that it's contained under. They note that when you're looking at the aspect, because all in all, this whole act speaks predominantly about risks, like I said. But when they're talking about the key features of which kinds of AI become an issue, they speak about general purpose AI, which is like you highlighted that ChatGPT discussion. And then the guy just rephrased his question, specifically going like from being direct and then being, pretty indirect to achieve his result.
Yeah.
The discussion that they mention here is general purpose AI. So the question is, users or are natural or legal persons that deploy an AI system in a professional capacity or sometimes in a personal capacity. And that does not affect end users or not affected end users. So they also identify the people, but the majority of obligations fall on providers, i.e. the developers of high risk AI systems. Those that intend to place on the market or put into service high risk AI systems in the EU, regardless of whether they are based in the EU or a third country. Now, a third country is obviously a country that's not party to the EU.
Yeah.
There's only two other countries that produce a lot of AI products, and that's predominantly China and the US. Now, ChatGPT is available everywhere.
Yeah.
Gemini on your Android device is available anywhere. What's the other one's name that we did the discussion about 2 weeks back? Anthropics. No, not Anthropic. What was the company's name?
Yeah, the company.
Dario,
that was the guy's name. The company's name is Anthropic. The AI is Claude.
Yes. Yeah, the AI is Claude. And Anthropic is based in the US as well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, German, Google has got like four or three. Is it four or three? And I've used all of them. I've made use of Gemini. I've practiced on Gemini. I've practiced on the
Copilot.
No, not Copilot. I haven't, but Copilot is already also on your Android phone.
Yeah.
I've practiced on the notebook. Yeah. Notebook LLM is the other AI program of Google. Then there's a fourth one that they've got. It's also like an experimental form.
Mm-hmm.
All of these particular products, and they are products, and that's what people should first and foremost realize. All these products are there to do one particular thing, and that's ultimately to be of a benefit to the company that produces them.
Yeah.
Meta has its own. What is Meta's once never again? I haven't seen it on Facebook.
That's the same thing that's been seems to have been rolled out. I saw it on my WhatsApp.
Yeah, you see it on your WhatsApp, and it's a weird thing. Just seeing this little circle hang there. That's the weirdest. Just seeing that little circle handle, and it's Meta AI as they call it, Meta AI with Llama 4. So the platform it's based on is literally Llama 4, which is an AI program. Now, identifying where these things are used. Now, remember, it states in this particular legislation, most of the obligations for safety. I'll insert the word safety there.
Mm-hmm.
Falls on the likes of Meta, Google, Anthropic, ChatGPT. What's ChatGPT's people's name?
OpenAI,
yeah. On OpenAI and obviously the guys that made the Chinese variant, that they need to take into consideration that you are dealing with people that will be using this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll start looking pretty dumb, Helmut, if it's AI using AI. AI searching on AI. How to cook a book. Yeah, let's go with that example. How to cook a book. If you know what I'm talking about, guys, that usually applies to accounting. How to cook a book. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. I have heard that before. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know,
so when someone
how
says.
How to Panama Papers.
That too. Or, you know, how to Bushiri something, you know? How to Bushiri is usually, you know, money, what they call that thing? Money laundering.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I don't feel sorry for any religious leader in the world. That is usually what they think, you know, that they're outside of the scope of,
But one thing I've come to learn is that, religion can be used to do a lot of things, including money laundering. It's very easy.
Yeah.
And it's actually being used, especially, there are actually a lot of, religious, you know, there are a lot of religious organizations that have been implicated in money laundering because it's one of those aspects where it's very difficult to keep track of how much that church makes every service.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And how many congregants they have that contribute a specific average because you have to find the average. Now, if you know what the income is, then you know what the average is, but then you also have to understand how many congregants it has.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been also some of the particular things that the Namibian government has tried to flirt with. Meaning, let's start taxing, religious entities. But then, where do you start?
That's one problem.
If you start with a Catholic church, because I'm a Catholic, the Catholic church is another country.
Yeah.
So that means every parish in Namibia is an embassy territory.
Yeah.
It's diplomatic territory. So how do you tax them? Because they are immune under global, what's that, that international legislation?
Canon law?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, but it's like international law. You may not tax because diplomats are earn tax-free salaries. They earn tax-free
salaries. Yeah, they do.
I had a friend that worked in an embassy.
Ooh.
Dude, do you know how nice it was to get Namibian public holidays and the other country's public holidays? And then you go home every Friday at 12.
Okay, that whole tax-free thing, is it tax-free only for that country or even for the home country where the embassy is from?
No, you don't pay taxes to the country that
to the country that
the embassy is from, because the diplomats are living there.
Mm-hmm.
But the diplomats are earning tax-free salaries. It's the same too for UN, not UN Namibians,
mm-hmm.
the other UN staff, the international staff.
Yeah.
Because you can consider the UN also as a diplomatic mission, every UN office.
Yeah.
They earn tax-free salaries as well.
Yeah, well, speaking of the UN, I'm still on AI and its, how it's going to change from my perspective, the whole, national sovereignty, the whole definition of national sovereignty.
Yeah.
And that is, now I bring that up because of, hang on a second. I came across an article on Reddit, that again, please take that with a pinch of salt, because I tried looking for established media articles on the subject, but I couldn't find any. It's from 2 days ago, and it's on it's on Reddit that Iran disabled GPS to join China's Beidou, the end of U.S. satellite dominance. And now I think this again goes to point out one thing that the tech now just picture just how confusing I found this morning when I first read this article.
Yeah.
In the whole conflict between Iran and Israel, and Iran ended up, targeting the, a U.S. military base in Qatar. What that goes to point was that
five
Qatar.
Rockets.
Five. Holy cow.
And
yeah.
Guess who shot them though? The Qataris.
Of course they did.
No, the Americans didn't have to shoot. That's why I told you most back in last week, the response that Trump said was, thank you for sending a weak attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but well, they told them we were going to attack before attacking. So
yeah.
Now, if
you want drama,
please just keep pushing.
In a Monty Python method.
Oh no, not
I'm
Monty.
Going to slap you, but I'm letting you know I'm going to slap you.
Rick and Morty. this whole time, WhatsApp has been Western social medias, Western social medias like WhatsApp have been accused of aiding into the targeting of high profile Iranian, Iranian individuals.
Mm.
And, according to this article, Iran actually decided to dump, GPS, which is a global positioning system, is a guidance system based, coming out of the West. They've been using this while being sanctioned by the, while being sanctioned by the West. So according to this article, they decided to dump GPS and then go for, go for the Chinese, is it Beidou? Because I know there are several, guidance system now, Russia has GLONASS. Mm. The EU uses, that region uses Galileo, although most of them uses, use the GPS to some degree because, well, it just comes, shoved in your phone. It's not like you have a choice.
Well, besides, most of the satellites were obviously also shot up by the Americans. So they've got more satellites in the sky. But that was also the thing that has been the big discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we did the space science discussion?
Yeah.
The Space Science Council of last year, which Namibia inaugurated. And we also did another particular discussion at the start of this year, the one about the Botswana satellite.
The one that we did to launch.
Out of all of that, you could see how even in the African context, we don't understand the value that having technology in space provides
gives
for
you
your economy on the ground.
In terms of economic and technological.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it also means that you need to allocate dedicated funding.
Research and development.
Exactly. But there's also another thing in terms of research.
So at this point, we're just, way in it of our head here, because we are talking about regulation to something that, okay, you can talk about regulation on the ground, but the, the hardware that information will be stored on, you don't own it.
It's not just about the hardware. It's a good thing that you highlighted all the systems that exist. All of those systems would come from the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Now, even if you say that South Africa, Nigeria,
throwing Kenya in there.
Kenya, there's another country, I think.
Rwanda?
Egypt and Rwanda. They have realized the importance of space science by having technology or programs associated to putting technology in this in space to help them with their specific needs. Because here's the thing, Helmut. Are you going to pay a rental fee? Let's, for example, say you pay a rental fee for Adobe. Because that's what Adobe wants.
Mm-hmm.
Adobe doesn't sell you anymore the CDs like they used to, like
they used to, yeah,
in the 2000s.
No.
Do you want to pay $5,000 at that stage? The one time I went and inquired was back in 2015. It was still from the guys that were like accredited Adobe software suite. No, it's not software suite. Creative suite. Creative suite distributors.
Mm-hmm.
I went and inquired from, okay, so guys, how much does it cost per Adobe license of each Adobe product? Because
yeah.
I told them I only want specific ones. The guy tells, the salesperson tells me, and that was 2015, Helmut. The salesperson tells me, no, that's $5,000 per license per year. I'm like, what? $5,000 per license per year? And that's before the exchange rate started going haywire against us. So, which technically almost makes it like close to $10,000 per license per license per year, which is madness. And it probably is known as the best technologies on the landscape. But then when people started realizing, you know what, start using the smart technologies. Most of the smart technologies are thrown on the internet.
Yep.
And all you need is just a subscription to get there. So you pay a lesser rental fee because it's on a hardware like the, what's that thing's name that you like citing? Cloud.
Is it cloud computing?
Cloud computing is on someone else's data center.
Yeah, it's just someone's hard drive halfway across the planet.
Somewhere else.
It's not in some, you know.
It's not on your PC?
Nope, it's not.
It's not somewhere in the sky?
Now, one of my go-to internet security that I've been using since 2016, I came to realize that I only came to learn, I think about 2 years ago, it's Romanian.
Yeah. The what?
Bitdefender.
Ah. Did you know that Kaspersky was Russian?
Now that one I knew.
Yeah. And when, the Ukraine conflict broke out, cause that Kaspersky guy is a billionaire.
Yeah. Because you can imagine.
Yeah, because of his antivirus. He's actually so widely known. His company is so old, that it is synonymous with any Windows platform. Where you've got Windows, they will sell you, but they will sell you Kaspersky. Now, when that conflict broke, people were asking the question of that guy, because his name is something Kaspersky.
Yeah.
So, my guy, what are you going to do? He said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I can't.
This is politicians gone nuts. I would have asked you the same question. What do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do? I have to, you know, somehow shut up and keep my silence and then just stay out of this conflict.
Uh-huh.
Because at that stage, things were becoming highly politicized.
Yeah.
And they were looking, all these Western countries were looking at every Russian billionaire and every Russian business.
Uh-huh.
And guess where Kaspersky was living?
Where he
stays most of the year.
Whoa,
he was living in London. Most of his business is in the US.
Oh, crap.
Talk about finding yourself in a hot crossfire. The poor guy was, you know, look, there's nothing you can do.
But look, that's the situation every company that was operating in Germany during Second World War found themselves in. Like, if you were approached by the guys that were not asking, congratulations, you have been making cars, thank you very much, but from now on, want you to make tanks.
Yeah.
We're not asking. Here's the money. We want tanks.
And I tell you, you and Mercedes make the planes, the airplane jets.
Yeah.
You are BMW, make the tank engines.
Yeah.
You are Opel, make the, supply the everyday car stuff.
Yeah, just make that, you're just making things on wheels, only, you know, with, kabooms on board this time. Like, look, that's the one thing,
I stop watching that Ugandan movie, Amud. Stop citing that movie.
Who killed Captain Alex?
No one says Kaboom's on
That's
board.
Still my favorite. That's still my favorite movie.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing about us Africans. We find a joke in everything.
Who killed
even
the Captain Alex?
Even if it's a very serious thing.
Ah, no.
The Kaboom's in it. People are like, what?
Drop the bomb, man. I don't know which type of military training that guy went to.
If the Ugandans listen to us, my guy, we'll be beaten up if we show up.
No, look, at this point, it's safe to say that, you know, one of, if not the most, you know, the most famous finance minister on this continent is the Ugandan finance minister. Cryptocurrency, the money that flows in the air.
Is he not the guy that also said, like, if you see the economy going up, you see.
Oh, yeah, he's the one. Yeah.
And if it goes down, it goes.
The economy is doing wonderfully. He's the same guy, so he's he has a very good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of money, as you can imagine. Bro has been a finance minister since 2015.
That's nothing.
Don't ask.
It's as long as it's not.
Don't compare him to his president.
As long as it's not Sri Lanka.
That's a whole different thing. Okay. Whew, thank God.
Yeah, that's nothing, Hamut. As long as it's not Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka was a family club.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Getting back to the AI, my always go to, total security because, you was one that I just, like to, I prefer. It's going to set you, for one account to protect, 5 devices is about, 2,000 something. That's per year.
Yeah. But that's what's also been the broader discussion about the technology somewhat. Have you heard of the Stop Killing Games campaign? Movement.
Stop killing what?
Games.
Okay. That's
remember our right to repair discussion.
Yeah.
Now there's a similar movement for entertainment products
that
are digital products.
Yeah.
And there has been a broad discussion about, you know, some digital companies or internet companies or cyber based companies that they sell you a service.
Mm-hmm.
You buy access into the service. And then 5, 6, 7 years from that date of purchase, then they just tell you, we're not supporting this product anymore. We're cutting access to the product code. And then something you were enjoying for that 5, 6, 7 years,
gone.
Zip, goop, switched off. No access. But you paid full price.
I think it's the, I think it is the same thing that happened to, Warzone? It was discontinued this year.
Yeah. It's not just Warzone. World of Warcraft, for people that are Warcraft fans and users. Warcraft has had so many, do you know, Helmut, that they had such hardcore fan bases that the company, Blizzard, literally gave away the free code, the code for free, for people to establish servers.
Yeah.
So that they and their friends that were still diehard supporters of the product can continue with it. Now, code is intellectual property. This EU AI Act also speaks about copyright protection and intellectual property. The discussion is always one based upon, you know, how do you strike the balance in terms of the advancement of a technology? For example, much of the discussion in the AI training that I got at the start of this year was all the tutors kept telling us, because we were, you know, from across Southern Africa, you will always get the best features if you pay a subscription fee.
Yeah.
So is it, what's the guy's name? I know Grok has a subscription fee on X. If you enable to have the blue ticker next to your name for your account, your Grok has like expanded features. Talk about, you know, what do they call it? Premium. What's that thing they call sometimes on games? Premium accounts. Premium level things.
As when you start having access to this and that, I'm like, look, I'm just here to snipe one or two people, then go back to work.
That too. The other dimension is also, for example, if you need to do certain things, remember the illustration generating AI platforms to generate pictures and all that.
And if you have seen the videos of talking babies trending, you know.
And for so many people to use that talking baby thing on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on here? Do you know what's the other weird thing that a lot of people have been using?
Yeah.
Especially the ladies. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm really sorry. They use AI-generated filters on their dating platforms.
Ouch.
So they take their face. They superimpose their face. We call it superimposing. Superimposition is the term that you use in creative design, in design.
Mm-hmm.
They take their face, so they take a photo of their face, and that photo, just the face, is superimposed on an image. And then the image is sort of like flattened, or it's naturalized so as to blend your face into...
So that it doesn't make it look obvious that it's AI generated or something, or AI enhanced?
No, it does make it obvious. The background is obvious, the styling is obvious, the hair is obvious, even the filter that they apply to your face is obvious, because you can see the whole AI thing. Yes, I am, hint hint, giving away certain particular details of technologies that I use, but you can see it so as clear as daylight that this person, firstly, this is catfish 101.
Ouch.
This is someone that's lying about what they actually look like. 101. It's so bad, Helmut. And the worst part is people don't realize that they keep feeding these things. Personal data points.
Yeah.
They keep feeding it. Because one of the downsides that has been proven, which is a negative of the AIs, was the report that I saw earlier this year about two voice actors in New York who they saw an ad. Actually, they were invited to come into, you know, for an experimental program. It doesn't say what the program is. They were just like a small voice clip because they were voice actors. Small voice clip from themselves so that, you know, the program can see whoever's running it to see whether or not they can make use of these people. The guys submitted their clips. It's a man and a woman. They hear nothing. They go like, okay, fine. You know, it's one of those things in terms of, you know, someone invites you.
Just, you know, audition.
Yeah.
It's like an audition.
And then you go like, okay, probably they don't want me.
Mm-hmm.
Then the guy, the male voice actor, hears his voice in a taxi on a radio.
It's like, no, I didn't get paid for that.
I didn't get paid for that job. And then the female voice actor, the woman, heard her voice also in another platform. On, you know, she saw it somewhere in a production. And she was like, but I don't remember receiving a contract or payment for that thing. Which is also one of the particular things that is the problem with AI.
So all you just need is someone's voice and then you can tailor it to say whatever. You can just fit in the maybe written prompt for it to say that exact same thing in an ad type of way. But, you know, as long as you have basically a sample, then you can do pretty much whatever you want with it.
Exactly. The same too. I mean, Helmut, I played around with AI that had a conversation about an article I wrote. Let me repeat it again. It was weird and scary to hear AI have a conversation with itself about an article I wrote. So one of the articles we've had in the e-paper, I copied the text, I fed it into the AI because we was now told, go and play around with the thing, you know, go and get used to this thing.
You open the Pandora's box.
I feed the text into the prompt field.
Yeah.
You know, design what I need from it. And it's pretty straightforward stuff. And I hear the AI, because you can hear in a podcast format, I hear the AI have a conversation about my article.
His article.
Yeah.
On the other side of the break.
Great news. Imbert just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. 6 minutes left to the hour of 10. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we are on artificial intelligence.
So,
and the regulations thereof, as the template have been laid out, by the EU, the same way that they laid out the GDPR, was that back in 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the GDPR obviously has been the, you know, sort of like.
More of a template.
Not the template, but it has been like the solid piece of legislation that's there.
Yeah, so is this one, though, with regards to AI. GDPR was about data protection.
Yeah, but this one builds on the GDPR.
Yeah.
Separate, but builds on it because it actually only starts kicking off in 2 August now.
Mm-hmm.
So the timeline, when I looked at the timeline, Helmut, it was all about, okay, first gazette, then inform individual member countries of the EU, and then those countries have to come back at another time and come and say how their readiness procedures have gone. And then each country has to appoint a regulator that has to take on this role, this additional role of being a regulator of AI. The most interesting thing that forms part of this is that these regulators, they have to work with the police. The police has to do a readiness impact assessment about human rights protections in each member state.
Human right.
Yes. Okay. Because that is what police are there for, Helmut.
Yep.
Police are there to protect our human rights, in a societal scope. Obviously, in other particular dangers that also impact us. But in most cases, the police are there to police us against ourselves, from ourselves, because most of the criminals come from us.
Yep.
And if you're coming with any other fairy tales, guys, I know.
Unfortunately, that's the best we can do.
Yeah. But usually, most of the criminals come out of the society that you come from. And the police are technically protecting you from a potential you that lives in another part of the country or the town or neighborhood or down the street.
Let me point out, now it's a good thing this came to my mind recently. Euronews, this is something I'm sure you must have seen this somewhere. It was sometimes last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that U.S. Army recruits tech execs. This is who will be joining as reserve members. Now, the U.S. military created a new Army reserve body earlier this month of June. That includes 4 players from the biggest tech companies in the world. The Army's new initiative, Detachment 201, called the Executive Innovation Corps to drive tech transformation. We'll see senior tech executives serve as advisor to the military to help guide rapid and scalable tech solutions to complex problems, the Army's website reads. I'm not sure if you also heard of that, but last year it came out that the U.S. military for I think about 2 or 5 years or even more, they were sending a lot of their military emails to Mali instead of their own military. Because that has to do with that. Now, imagine Mali was just sitting there like, oh, don't tell them. Because, I think it's something that has to do with ML for military and MAL for Mali in their domain name. Mm. A lot of them, you know, I think, you know, just, you know, for, you know, for a very long time, I think in that 2 or 5 years, you know, 5 years, I think it was even longer than that time, you know, time span, where the US military was sending a lot of information they should not have to the government of Mali. Now, the first question I asked myself was, like, okay, why didn't the Malian government just tell them, you know, a wrong recipient?
But here's the thing, and this is even the knowledge around how internet technologies work sometimes between, in the communication space of, let's say, emails.
Yeah.
What you and I don't see is that we have, let's for example say Eagle FM. Mm-hmm. Eagle FM has an email server.
Yeah.
And for you to receive and send emails, you should know the address on another email server of someone else. So first and foremost, you know, what you explained to me right now is probably someone that was mistyping something, obviously. Mm-hmm. The second scenario is if an email address does not exist on that server,
mm-hmm.
it bounces back. It should tell you, recipient does not exist. Please mm-hmm. check the spelling. I've had that issue sometimes a lot. Sometimes your fingers just flow too much the way the keyboard sounds, you know, making you sound as if you are busy on the keyboard. But Anakam, you're just mistyping things or miswriting a lot, which is a big concern because obviously it's a question of, you know, did you actually properly read?
Verify.
The recipient's address. But before we continue, Amut, we quickly
let's take a live read.
A live read. This is the Welwitsche University September Intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA, Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6. This is a 2 year full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurinkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Kotimamulilu and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6. This is a 2 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 year full-time course available in Windhoek, in Nkurinkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Welwitsche University, where everyone is an achiever.
Just one small typo.
Just one small typo.
By the way, those emails were being sent from the US military server to Mali from 2015. I think they only found out in 2023. This still does, you know, the math is just not mathy.
No, it's not, because like I explained to you, the Malian government definitely has an internet server, or email server. Mm-hmm. It should have told that person who's writing emails, you know what? This recipient that you're sending an email to does not exist. To me, Helmut, it literally sounds like someone was intentionally sending those emails there. There is no way.
So you think maybe the government of Mali sent a private jet to some army somewhere, exactly. So they can keep making them.
Exactly. So someone was just like, you know what? Let's not look like we've got serious egg on our faces in terms of looking incompetent in dealing with strategic military information or sensitive military information. Let's just mm-hmm. say, you know what? We did not know that this did not exist.
We had no idea.
And every internet technician is telling you, or IT technician is telling you, brah.
Yeah.
If those emails didn't bounce back, then someone intentionally knew the address.
You can imagine the investigations were going on and someone is probably explaining to this, to this day over how that ended up happening. So, when you look at technology from a software standpoint, and you look at it from the point of hardware, and you just see how in both areas, you can't help but look at just how little to no significance in terms of playing that we participate, or more like the way we contribute towards, as a continent. It's very scary looking at AI developing in a way that, independence is something that independence is something that we fought for a very long time as a continent. Mm. Now that we have it, it seems like technology with the it's coming in and in under the cloak of convenience, and it was low key basically threatening that very independence, because if you are running a country that's operating on information that is stored in a different country, that constitutes national security issue.
Not always.
How many servers do you have that you have all your, how many servers do you have on the African continent?
I don't know, but most of them probably sit in South Africa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who is operating them? How much control do you have there? Now, this is something that is basically becoming very sensitive, because for a lot of countries, especially when it comes to tech, they are choosing to consume products that's familiar to them, aka something that's produced in their country. Mm. The Chinese government have been, have been slowly, especially in the public sector, which is a very large chunk of China, in terms of, especially economic, in terms of economic and tech. They want to, to use tech, a Chinese tech, as much as possible. Because anything can be embedded into a foreign chip.
Yeah,
that's the most scary part. Now, but that's not the most scary part. Now, when you look at when you come to the realization that a lot of private companies in a lot of countries, especially the U.S., the U.S. and Israel are very known for that. For producing softwares that can actually be bought by independent third parties, independent third parties, especially foreign governments, like Pegasus, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a software.
And Pegasus was found everywhere.
Yeah. Pegasus, this is basically every dictator's weapon of choice. Give me Pegasus and I can just run my country with an iron fist. And human beings, we are basically known for to do that. Back in 2020, Nigeria, Human Rights Watch put out an article about Nigeria finally unfreezing protesters' bank accounts. This, you remember the protesters in Nigeria that were involved into NSAS protest?
Yeah.
The government basically came in and started doing something that the United Nations does not recommend all its member states to do, which is, which is accessing protesters' private data. So again, it brings us back to, back to data protection. And, they started, freezing their different bank accounts. They had to face a lot of international criticism for them to unfreeze those bank accounts. But then, again, it doesn't matter how bad the protest is. That's not something, according to the United Nations, you are supposed to do.
But it obviously also has a discussion about, like, the other talk you and I had about the mandatory SIM registration.
Yeah.
I know I had one back in 2023 when the deadline was coming close.
Yeah.
We did that talk again last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because usually when a country, like what Namibia did, when your country runs a mandatory SIM card registration program or process or campaign, it's usually done due to there being a lack of data protection.
Yeah.
Because you try to know who owns the number, but there is no legal basis to protect the individual or the individual person or citizen's rights in terms of data protection, because why must you share data, personal data?
So that means, even if you caught them, if you don't have the right legislations in place, you can't prosecute them.
That too. That is if your lawyer is that clever.
If your lawyer can't figure that up.
That is if your lawyer is that clever.
Remember,
two elections challenges were thrown out in 2008 and 2012. Because of an act that is now the Electronic Transactions Act.
I didn't follow much the one in 2018, but the one for 2024, that court case.
Mm.
Oh boy, did I follow that one all the way to the end. And you can just, I think I still have a soft copy of the ruling in my tab.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's amazing to, it's just amazing to read through. It's about 80 pages, you know, it's about 80 pages long, you know, because, the ruling is basically, well, this is just the judge, you know, the first step to explain, they just can't, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of people complain. I mean, it's just a ruling. Why don't you just say the word, this is the decision we've made? No, they can't do that. The first thing they have to do is walk through all the series of events, how they transpired. And, that's, you know, that's when they lay out that this, yeah, is why we have reached this conclusion.
And also interpret each series,
uh-huh,
of events.
This, on this day, this political party wrote this letter. This political party through its representative wrote this letter to the ECN or the president saying this and that. Mm. The president or ECN responded in this way. And in this way, now on this event led to that event, led to that event. And based on all this is what led us to reach this conclusion. Mm. Now, a lot of people, now, this is actually where print media, we really need to do a lot, because most of the articles that I read after that case, they were just going straight to what the court said about, you know what, they made a ruling, and the ruling is that, they're dismissing the case, and that's it.
But they're not interpreting for
exactly.
Reader.
Now you have a lot
because
of people.
Because the reader didn't watch the court case.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. So, a lot of them then just, they got, you know what, oh, one, this is the ruling they made? First of all, you also have to understand.
How did they get to the ruling?
First of all, you also have to understand, I think, something that you pointed out on Friday, that, this is an 80-page document. Mm. Yeah. You will need a whole newspaper, plus a lot of pages that's dedicated to just that one story.
Not really, Hamoud. Not really. If the writer knows how to condense.
Summarize it.
Yes. Why do you think executive summaries work, exist in reports?
ChatGPT?
No, not. Look, the human is the original ChatGPT.
Intelligence. So
if you were trained how to read and how to write, mm-hmm, you would know about, okay, I'm giving you a whole Bible of 1,000 pages.
In one article.
But I want you to summarize it. So you are given time, go and read the thing, come back and summarize it.
Now
obviously want to apply, American Psychology Association's, what they call that thing? Citation or referencing style, yeah, you'll have issues because if you now cite every idea back to this document.
Okay, now you have a problem, yeah.
You'll have a problem. You'll literally sit with a 2,000-page document being cited from a 1,000-page document.
Yeah, but usually, they just put it in quotation marks. Like, this person said this, but this person said that. But then again.
I said APA. APA is a nightmare. Mm. APA is the one that has double spacing between sentences. You literally have to say which page, which book, which chapter,
which author,
and authors. And if you use a direct excerpt to explain an idea, also cite it accordingly in that scenario.
That's respecting someone's work to a whole another level. Look. It's a lot, but you really have to give them credit for coming up with that, because you just can't, fry down people's work and then pretend it's yours.
Or you just put, Dwight, edition 5 mm-hmm. of this book. And then people were like, what book? Which year? Which version?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get
it? No, because you have people that would like to verify it.
Yeah.
Oh dear. AI is just one of those things that we also have to face and try to come up with laws to regulate. But it's a foreign product that we're playing catch up on tech in hardware. We're playing catch up in tech in software, in both AI and non-AI.
Mm.
That's a lot of catching up.
And we still don't have the legislation. If we sorted out the legislation, Namibians would have been protected. But we have not gotten that far. And on that note, dear listeners, David is kicking us out. He's evicting us. We said thank you for the 10 minutes, David. Technically 13 minutes. But we thank you. On that note, guys, same time, same place tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the rest of your programming.
Yeah, just one question, King David. The book of Psalms, 150 chapters. What the heck were you thinking? Because now, okay. You all have a good one. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Stay tuned in for the next program. That's Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe. Right?
Okay.
He will make a terrible landlord.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere uliko ni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko IGL FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane IGL FM. The eye.